Shalom. This is Shelley Brim Oaks coming to you from beautiful Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I've so enjoyed sharing these days with you. It has done my heart good to know that I can sit and talk in front of a microphone. I think I haven't fallen far from the tree. Mother has allowed me the opportunity to come and share, and I tell you, I was praying and seeking the Lord, and my knees were knocking just a little bit, thinking, oh my goodness, but the grace of God and the mercy of God, and here we are, the last day of this series of lessons on how to live successfully, or keys to success in times of distress. And I tell you, I don't know if it's blessed you, but it sure has helped me. We've taken as our scriptural text, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, "He who loves life and see good days, that's success. Let him keep or guard his tongue from evil." And so it all begins with the tongue, doesn't it? How simple is that? If we've got that, we are on the road to a successful journey. I have in my possession a little book. It's by E.W. Kenyon. It's an old book. I've had it for many years. The little cover is about to fall off of it. I don't even know if it's still in print. But it's entitled Signpost on the Road to Success. And on page, let's see. It's also good, but page 29, it talks about what's the use. And Kenyon says some things. He has some thoughts here. And I'm thinking, if the listener could just hear this. So if you don't mind, I'll just read his thought on the subject. He begins by saying, "God has forgotten me and nobody cares. I might as well throw up the sponge." These words were said to me, which would be Kenyon, just a few weeks ago by a young woman. I asked her how she knew that God had forgotten her and how she knew that nobody believed in her. She said, "I have had nothing but failure ever since I came to the city." Now, folks, just a little side thought here. Remember, he who's going to love life and see good days has to keep his mouth from these kind of words. "I've had nothing but failure ever since I came to the city." So Kenyon says to this woman, "Don't you think we should take an inventory and find out why you have had failure? What is the reason for it?" Then she answered, "When a person has a string of bad luck, I feel like diagnosing the case and, if possible, finding what's wrong." That's what Kenyon said. "Well," she answered, "I was whipped when I came to this city. This was the frontier of the last resort to me. I was simply running away from bad luck in the East." Kenyon said, "You can't expect to win, or you didn't expect to win, did you?" "I had hoped I might," she said. "I thought if I could get in the right surroundings, I might get on top." But I noticed a hopeless strain in her voice and a look of hopelessness in her eyes. And I said, "Let's go back to the beginning of things for a bit. You know that God cannot fail anyone who trusts Him." Oh, that's worth repeating. God cannot fail anyone who trusts Him. Suppose you bring Him your shattered, broken present. Then make a new start today. He will wipe out all the past. And as He wipes it out, you begin now as though you had never tried and failed. And she said, I would give anything if I could do that. But you can. All those who have reached the top have had to do it. Many of the dreams and expectations of youth have been lost. But there have been born new dreams and new expectations. That's what I'm believing God for us today as members of the body of Christ, the family of God. We're believing God for new dreams and new expectations. And that the faith of youth and young manhood and womanhood has been destroyed, okay. But a new faith has been born out of the failures of the past. Kenyon goes on to say, "And I can see her now. If I could only do that, if there could only be born in my heart a new faith, a new dream." And Kenyon says, "Well, your worst enemy is your memory." Wow. Your worst enemy is your enemy, is your memory. Your worst trait is going back over the failures and taunting yourself. You cry nearly every night after you go to bed because you failed. She said, yes, that's true. But, I said, you are done with that. You are done with all that is past. Failure is a memory thing to be forgotten. Right now, we are writing on a new page, a new history. You have a new name. The name is Victoria. We will call it Victoria, Victory. We will christen this new girl with a new name, and you will go out to win. You can succeed. Life is big and rich ahead of you. Let Him, the Unseen One, the Lord God Almighty, take care of you. She whispered softly, do you think He would do it for me? I know He would. He counts it a privilege. He's looking for opportunities like this. I imagine the Lord has had His eye on you for a long time, waiting for you to look up through the clouds and ask for His help. She went out to win. I met her days afterwards. She had no past. She had nothing but a brilliant, glad future ahead of her. She said, you know, it was so easy to get a job. I went into the same store where they had turned me down, and they seemed to be glad I came. I'm doing the work I enjoy. Those of you who are chasing after a better job, have in you the possibilities of a better job. Don't spoil them. Sell yourself to the man who needs you. It's easy to do it when you have the right mental attitude toward life. And again, I think attitude is so important in your success. I'd like to share with you about an attitude and a position that I had working for Andy Williams several years ago. My husband and I moved to Branson, Missouri in 1989, and we were blessed. We were in the middle of God's will, but all of a sudden, a couple of years later, we find ourselves out of God's will. A bigger, better position offered itself in Arkansas, and Arkansas is a blessed state. Don't take it personally, but it wasn't for Bob and I to live there. The Lord wanted us here in Branson. And so after being in Egypt, so-called Egypt for a while, we connected back to the will of God, moved back to Branson, and ended up having to sell our home. And with the proceeds, we bought an RV and lived in that RV at a camp here in Branson. And it's not a joy unspeakable and full of glory when my address was an RV camp. But I learned to press into God, read the Word of God, wanting to be a success, having to dig another well of success, and looking to the Word, and also the newspaper for a job, and found that Andy Williams was hiring people. I read the article wrong. I didn't know I'd read it wrong, but it looked like it said singing parking lot attendants. So that day there was a nice storm, and I was there might have been two or three other people there that made it out of their icy homes. And but the Lord gave me favor, and right there in front of the employee, she was an accountant, because the music director could not get out of her driveway. So in front of this accountant, I'm singing a parking lot song that I had made up for the audition. And it was to the tune of Zippity Doodah, Zippity Day, My Oh My, What a Wonderful Way. But I changed the words for Andy Williams and Moon River Theater. And of course, I didn't expect the response that I got from her, which was absolutely nothing. Not a smile, just stone face. And she said, well, I'm a little confused. I don't know if you're here to sing, be part of the choir, or do you want to be part of the parking lot crew? And I went, well, you mean there's separate positions? And she said, yes. And I went, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed. That being what it was, a few days later, Nancy, who is the music director, was able to come to the theater. I sang in front of her, and she was gracious to offer me a job. And so I was now an official member of the Moon River Choir. It was several members. I was approximately 22, and we had the opportunity of singing with the wonderful Andy Williams. Now, this was a job that didn't take much time, two shows a day, approximately 20 minutes each performance. And so to have an 8-hour job and a full paycheck, I had to fill in the time with doing something else. And the people in charge, management, decided that I should sell popcorn. Now, my first thought was, have they looked at my resume? Have they read my resume? I'm a college graduate. I've traveled around the world teaching, preaching the gospel. I've been to Israel many times, and they're wanting me to sell popcorn. I was so embarrassed. But I went to the Word of God, and it said in the Word, in Philippians chapter 3, and it says, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. These are Christians. But however, this salvation, this life of God that's within them, has to be worked out from like a napkin being unfolded and unwrapped in our life, out into my hands, out into my work, out into my place. For verse 13, for it is God which worketh in me and in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And so my instruction was, you sell popcorn without murmuring. And so I did. I'm refraining my tongue from evil, speaking no evil, that I may succeed and have good success. So that's what I did. I would sing for Andy Williams, then take off my little robe and have my popcorn outfit on and sell popcorn and clean the popcorn machine. And then one day, after the end of 9 months, the season was over, and just I'm home during a winter time here in Branson. The phone rings. It's Andy Williams, and said, I want you to sing a gospel segment with me, doing a solo part. And I said, Andy, there are so many people that are better singers than me. And he said, no, I want you. He said, I would turn around to direct the choir, and you were the lady that had the light shining out of her. I want you. I went back to Philippians chapter 2, and it says, do all things without murmuring, that you may be blameless, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If I had murmured, it would have affected my light, and I would not have been a success. This is Shelley Brim Oaks. It's been a privilege. This week we are offering Kenneth E. Hagin's How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Jesus appeared to him and said, if you'll learn to be led by the Spirit, you will be rich. I'll make you rich, have a full supply. Simply write Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65616, or call 1-800-972-3447, or log on to Billy Brim, BillyBrim.org. We'd love to hear from you. Any testimonies or prayer requests? Remember our Wednesday prayer at noon through satellite. We'd love for you to join us. God bless you. You can have a success, have days of heaven upon the earth, and know that if you guard your mouth and not murmur or complain, your light will shine bright, and you will be a success in Jesus.